Thanks for choosing to listen to this edition of Chris Fabry Live. As we have said on the program many times, you are always an insider with us. We don't charge for this service. But if you'd like to contribute to help out, go to chrisfabrylive.org and click on the support button. Now, enjoy the program. Buckle up, strap yourself in, because we're going to have a conversation today. So you died and went to heaven, and then you came back with a story. What are you supposed to do with that? And why are we so enamored in this culture with stories? Doesn't matter whether you're in the church or not. Stories of those who break through to the other side and then return. What are the ups, the downs, the in-betweens concerning death to life experiences? Traveling to heaven stories, whether it's a child or a middle-aged person, older person, people who die and go either to heaven, they'll go toward the light, go down that long tunnel, or they go someplace else. That's what we're going to talk about today on Chris Fabry Live. And you've had this question for a long time, haven't you? I know you have. We're going to talk about it with none other than the man who wrote the book about heaven without ever going there, Randy Alcorn. You can find out more about him at chrisfabrylive.org. ChrisFabryLive.org. And if you disagree with him or if you agree with him, we want to hear from you today. Here's how you get involved with us. Here's the number, 877-548-3675. 1-877-548-3675. That number, as well as information about our guest, about featured resources, about Social Security numbers of all of the people working behind. No. But just about everything else, podcasts, free streams. Go to chrisfabrylive.org, and the last name is F-A-B as in Fab, F-A-B-R-Y, chrisfabrylive.org. somebody wrote me and said something, fair and balanced radio yakking, F-A-B-R-Y. All right, the contest is still going on, even though it's not a contest. Nate McMillan's our producer today. Ryan McConaughey is our engineer, making it sound better than we deserve. And Elizabeth Ossaturo will be answering your calls. You don't have to spell that. Just call her at 877-548-3675. We talked yesterday about two words that we want you to eradicate from your vocabulary as a parent, as a believer in Jesus. And I have more to share about that tomorrow. Come on back for the program then. But I knew it had happened. We had a caller on a topic yesterday who talked about his dad who had a bike ministry who gave his summers to Jesus. And I said, I bet there's somebody who's going to email me who knew your dad. Hi, Chris. I'm listening to this show. I was amazed to hear your caller describing his dad's bicycle ministry, Wandering Wheels. I attended a neighboring rival school to Taylor University, Indiana Wesleyan University. The spring of my freshman year, I got to take a 10-day bike trip through the northern panhandle of Florida. We were driven to the starting destination in a customized Greyhound shell, and we were supported along the way with crew that was able to repair the bikes on the road as needed and fix meals. We slept on the floors of churches and school gymnasiums. Doesn't that sound fun? I mean, it doesn't sound easy. It sounds fun. Encountering some of the kindest, most amazing people. I learned after the trip that one young man who went at the invitation of a friend committed his life to Christ. And was no doubt influenced by the experience. Thanks for opening the door to a jaunt or a bike ride down memory lane. And if you didn't hear the program, you can go back and hear it at chrisfabrylive.org. All right. After the program yesterday, I rushed to the car repair place. It was a glass company where for a lesser price than everybody else was quoting me, I was able to get a windshield replaced. And I brought some stuff to work on, and I sat down on their couch, and they had aquarium with a lot of little fish in there. And then they had TV with the satellite thing on it. And so you get, a billion channels. But on the TV, which I don't watch that much, but I recognized Dr. Oz. I knew who Dr. Oz was. And they were showcasing people who had lost a lot of weight, and here's how they do it, and here's the exercise they were going through. And I was working on my stuff. I just muted the thing because I was the only one there, except for this little girl who had a stuffed animal. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if I should just go over here and put it to a cartoon, and she'd be, well, I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't. She might not be, but I'm glad I didn't, because I looked up, and when they were going to a break, the sound was muted, but I saw the unmistakable signs that they were going to talk about heaven. Because there was this hazy scene of a green pasture. It's just very peaceful, and a man looking through the haze into the distance. And I thought, they're going to talk about a near-death experience or something like that. So I turned it up, and this is what I heard on Dr. Oz's show yesterday.
At 4:30 a.m. on Monday, November 10th, 2008, I almost died. I woke up that morning with an extremely intense headache. Within 2 or 3 hours, my brain started to shut down. And that's when I lost consciousness completely and went into coma. I was gone from this world. I saw something that was nothing short of a miracle. I saw heaven. I was in a very lovely, bright valley with puffy pink-white clouds. I was traveling on a butterfly wing with a beautiful girl beside me, and she had a wide smile, sparkling blue eyes. I do believe that consciousness exists independent of the body and brain, and that heaven is real. Our souls are eternal.
Okay, that's what I heard. And then they went into this, and they had another doctor come along for the surgeon, the neurologist. I mean, this is a really smart guy, and Dr. Oz was kind of squinting and saying, I've got to see this. How do you know it really is? Well, I was there. I rode on the butterfly wing, and this girl that was beside me, well, it turned out, he went back and he looked at some pictures later on, and it was his sister who had died. That's who was there, right there. I don't know if she was on the butterfly wing or not, or just on a puffy pink-white cloud. And herein lies the struggle and the difficulty of talking about people who have died and gone to heaven. Because one person will describe exactly as you see it depicted in Scripture and will not deviate from that. Another person will describe people with wings or riding on the back of a butterfly, which I think would be kind of cool. If I could have it happen. I mean, I'm not saying that that's not how it happens. We're going to find out from Randy what he thinks. Randy Alcorn has written a book called Heaven. And I saw yesterday on his Facebook page that he has some problems with the doctor that you just heard. You just heard his voice. Best-selling book. A lot of people are reading it. And a lot of people in the Christian world have read a bunch of the same types of books. What are the problems? What are the struggles that we have? Let's talk about it. 877-548-3675. You're listening to Chris Fabry Live, direct from Moody Radio. It's great to have you here listening or re-listening. Tell a friend about the program and how they can hear us online right here. You are our best means of advertisement, really, and our best ministry resource, because you help us spread the word about quality broadcasts. Now let's get back to the program. This is Chris Fabry Live, online at chrisfabrylive.org, 877-548-3675. We'll take your questions, comments, opinions. For Randy Alcorn today, he's founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to teaching biblical truth and drawing attention to the needy and how to help them. Before that, he co-pastored for 13 years Good Shepherd Community Church outside Gresham, Oregon. He's written more than 30 books, including the book that we have featured today, Heaven, as well as The Treasure Principle, Safely Home, The Goodness of God, and more. He posted yesterday on his on Facebook, I've got a new blog. Dr. Eben Alexander's Proof of Heaven has now been on the New York Times bestseller list for 41 weeks. It's estimated to have sold more than 2 million copies, with a lot of discussion going on about the book. And after being asked several times what I thought, it seemed time to blog about it. My first thought is that it appears Christians have become increasingly gullible and accepting of these personal accounts of near-death experiences. Randy Alcorn, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chris. Great to be with you.
Okay, so the big question, the most important question today is, are there butterflies in heaven?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because I've devoted years of research to that very subject. I looked up butterfly in a concordance and I found nothing about it in the Bible as far as butterflies in heaven. But seriously, I mean, this is just such a remarkable experience. And years ago, I wrote a blog that ended up being very controversial, more so than I intended, about Don Piper's book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, about
yes.
Todd Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real. Phenomenally successful books. I mean, Heaven is for Real, I am told, has actually sold more copies than any book has in recent history, putting it more on the level now of like The Prayer of Jabez, The Purpose-Driven Life. I mean, Left Behind series. I mean, phenomenally huge
yes.
bestsellers. But what strikes me about these books is, while I know Don Piper and I know those who know the Burpos and say they're wonderful people, you know, pastors, people that love Jesus, and that's not the issue. That's not my question. But as I read their books and I see people believing their particular memories of their particular experiences, I'm not even questioning sincerity, worldview, anything like that. But I one of the remarks that I have made in the past is this is simply preparing the way for people to, with equal gullibility, automatically believe any other accounts they read. And while those books that I mentioned by evangelicals don't have that much false theology, I believe they do have some. About a year ago, Mary Warren's book came out, To Heaven and Back, from an evangelical publisher, and that book has accounts of being in heaven and talking with Jesus and finding out that we all begin in heaven, and then we move from heaven down to earth, are born in physical bodies. And then we forget about the fact that we know God and we have to come to back into relationship with Him when we're here. So the preexistence of the soul. I mean, false theology. And now here we have the proof of heaven, which doesn't even pretend to be Christian, yet many Christians are reading it and believing it.
Yes. So what are we to do then with, I've been thinking about this for an awful long time, and people who have heard this, and Tricia can check me on this. We may have had callers who said, you know, I died and something happened to me and they've talked about it, but I don't think we've ever had any of those books that you've mentioned so far on, and the reason that we have not has been because of that very thing. How do you discount the good doctor who talks about being on the back of a butterfly when it's clear he had some experience? I can't deny that he had that experience, right?
Exactly, and that's the same thing you get, actually. Her name's Mary Neal, and her book, To Heaven and Back. She's, again, a physician, and the idea is, well, physicians are kind of scientists. They're objective, credible
yeah.
people. Well, the truth is, physicians are like the rest of us. And so they can believe something that isn't true. And certainly, Mary Neal's theology often is not true. Even Alexander's, you know, who wrote this book, Proof of Heaven, he doesn't really have much theology at all. And most of what's there is not biblically based at all. Quite a bit of it is utterly contradictory to Scripture. But we get this feeling that, well, I've been there. I mean, how can you even question me? And that's what Mary Neal says when she's questioned is, hey, look, you can tell me what you want about what you think Scripture says. I was there.
Yes.
And so, in other words, it's my experience trumps what the Bible says. Now, they don't say it that way, but
right.
that's effectively what happens.
Yes. And so the question then is, and I have a friend who had this happen, didn't write a book about it, but talks very openly about, here's what happened to me, and I was told you have more time left, and kaboom, he's back, and he's going to live his life for God. I don't, how do you deal with a story like that? Thoroughly evangelical person who says everything about heaven that the Bible says, and that this is, I'm going to give you more time, go and live for me. I feel like that was his experience. You can tell me that story. I don't know, though, putting it in a book or talking about it on a miniseries is the best thing for biblical truth.
Well, I think that's true. I am very careful in the blogs that I've written on this to say God can bring anybody back from the dead he wants to. He does not need my permission. He's certainly capable of doing that. We have biblical accounts of people who died, were brought back to life. However, we also have the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, who's talking about this man who had this experience, which is obviously him, and he goes to the third heaven, paradise, and then sees things which are not permitted for men to tell. Now, this is very interesting because he had a true, call it near-death experience or after-death experience and brought back from the, you know, whatever it is, he had a very real experience, and yet he does not tell us what he saw. Now, that's not to say that the Bible doesn't tell us. I mean, the Bible tells us rich man and Lazarus. The Bible tells us in Revelation 6 about the martyrs in heaven and their experience, and they're looking down at earth and saying, how long, O Lord? Scripture certainly does reveal to us numbers way more than most people think. Many things about heaven, and certainly about the new heavens and the new earth to come in the future. But my fear is that a lot of people are not studying what the Bible says about heaven. Instead, they're hearing the account of 4-year-old Colton Burpo in Heaven is for Real, talking about the rainbow unicorn that he saw in heaven, talking about the people who have, all the people in heaven have wings, and they have circles over their heads. Okay, well, what are circles? Like halos. Okay, well, where in the Bible does it ever even hint or suggest that a person ever has wings? Some angels, not all angels, but some angels have wings. People, never. It's simply never said. And yet, I've had people tell me, well, of course, now we know that people have wings. Well, how do you know that? Well, because it says so. In heaven is for real. And you think, it really? Are you actually saying that because it says so in that book, and because the author, Colton's father, Todd, is a pastor, and he's writing down some of the things that his son said? And I think one of the things that actually concerns me is, as the years go on, more things are remembered by some of these people who died and went to heaven. And you would think that as the years go on, your memory would become more fuzzy instead of sharper, constantly coming up with new things that you now remember that you experienced there. And I think it's a red flag.
Are publishers who publish these types of books irresponsible, as Christian publishers?
Well, I think any time a Christian publisher publishes something that contradicts Scripture, it is way out of bounds. And I had an interesting, I did two blogs on Mary Neal's book, To Heaven and Back. And I, because the publisher is a Christian publisher and has published some of my books, I contacted them and I said, here is my draft of this blog, my critique of this book that you have published. I love you there. I don't want to have a bad relationship with you. I would like you to tell me what's wrong with what I'm saying here. You know, what do you, you know, disagree with or whatever. They wrote back a pretty extensive response, and I asked their permission to print their response in order to give, let them have their word. And so this was last August 10th, almost exactly a year ago, but August 10th, 2012. And it's a blog that's called A Dialogue with a Publisher About Mary Neal's To Heaven and Back. And what they say in this is very revealing. I mean, they say, hey, we're committed to Scripture. You know us. We're committed to orthodoxy. And I go, right. And then what they say is, To Heaven and Back is not a book of theology. Rather, it is a true story of a woman with a remarkable experience with a supernatural God, a life-changing event that brought her into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Why shouldn't we all praise God for that? Well, on the face of it, it sounds true. But when you read the book, you see that she is saying things that are explicitly contradicted by Scripture. So at least if you're going to publish this book, can't you edit out the portions that just contradict the revealed Word of God?
Well, I would assume they would say, well, then it wouldn't be her experience. Then you wouldn't get the full-orbed feel of what she saw and heard.
Exactly. And when they say, and this is so common, this is what people always would say about the Shack. This is what Paul Young, the author of the Shack, told me several times when I met with him personally to discuss the book, is, well, this isn't a book of theology. Oh, actually, it is a book of theology. And see, this is what, if you say, as Mary Neal does, that she's in heaven talking with angels and talking with Jesus, and here is what they told me, that all people begin their life journey as creatures already existing in heaven. Then they come down to earth in human form. And then they, after they die, they go back to heaven again. Okay, that is theology. And it's not just kind of, I sort of think this, it's Jesus said those words to me. And you are putting the authority of Jesus on an experience and a theology that is false, and therefore the publisher, I think, is accountable. We're told that we're going to be held accountable for every careless word we've spoken. And I don't want to speak careless words, and I have spoken careless words before and asked God's forgiveness, and I'm alert to that. But I just think for evangelical publishers to publish stuff like that is... I do think it's irresponsible.
And Randy's next book will be published, self-published,
Of course. Will be self-published, for sure.
No, yes. I see, Randy, I'm in your camp, but I know that you're saying this in a loving way. This is not like, okay, now we need to get all the placards out, let's go boycott, you know. That's not what you're saying. But
not at all.
What you're saying is, there is power in the stories that we tell, even fictional things. There's
Absolutely.
Power in those stories, and we have to be responsible. Now, what if somebody says, yeah, but look, the effect of this is not only sales. The effect of this is there are a lot of people who are being exposed to a real Christian who has had some kind of experience. As a matter of fact, Sherry's on the line in Tampa, Florida. Hey, Sherry, what did you call in about?
What I'm calling about is that I just saw on YouTube a story about an atheist that specifically, you know, let it not be known that 21 years ago he was flat-out atheist, did not want to have anything to do with God, but he died. He actually got stung by 5 box jellyfish in New Zealand and died and was in the morgue dead for 20 minutes. And during that time, while he was dead, he actually envisioned his mother praying for him. And his mother claims that God told her to pray for him because he was dying. And that the next thing he knew, he went up to heaven and he was greeted. First off, he felt hell at first, but because he prayed to God for his salvation, he went through some tunnel and met with Jesus, and Jesus took him and showed him the promised land on the other side, and it was almost like a parallel universe.
All right, let me ask you real quickly, Sherry, did you believe everything that he was saying?
Now, my question is this guy was on the 700 Club, and that's who interviewed him on this. And I just
We're making all kinds of enemies here today. All right, Randy, and I have seen the same thing, and I've heard many times the same thing. You know, the tunnel, this one's a little different. You know, you go to hell, and then you go to heaven, and then it's you do the whole circle. All right, Randy, what do you think?
Well, I think every experience needs to be tested by the Word of God. So you've got Acts, 17:33, and the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They studied the scriptures daily to see whether these things were true. Is there anything that that man is claiming that contradicts scripture? Well, you could say, Hebrews 9:27 and 28 is pointed on to men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So all of these supposed death experiences isn't the norm, you die once, you don't have a second chance, these things aren't revealed to you, the Lord doesn't come to you after you die. But maybe we could say, well, maybe he wasn't in the ultimate sense really dead, so he maybe was just unconscious and declared dead when he wasn't, and maybe God came into his life and intervened, and you had a, quote, deathbed conversion, but now he comes back. Could God do such a thing? Of course, God can do anything. But I also think that...
Let me have you hold that part right there. So how do you explain this? I want to find out from Randy. How do you explain these kinds of things? Is that even an important question? What about the fruit? What about positive things that happen and people who say, well, I think I'll investigate this and start reading the Bible? Isn't that a good thing? This is Chris Fabry live on Moody Radio. You're listening to Chris Fabry Live. Remember, you can link with us online at facebook.com. Just type in Chris Fabry Live. Also, the website has many more past programs you might be interested in, and you can support us there as well. We don't charge anything for this service, and you can help us in that way. All at chrisfabrylive.org. Suzanne writes us from Birmingham. I read the Don Piper book, and Don was hesitant to write his book about his experiences in heaven. Everything he stated is biblical. I agree we need to be discerning in what we read or not, but not all these experiences or books are wrong. Not all of them are wrong. Okay, so let's get back to Randy Alcorn as we talk about this controversial issue. And again, we're talking about evangelical publishers here. We're talking about other media, Christian media outlets. And I've made the decision that's not a direction that I really feel comfortable in going. And that's not to say that, everybody else is bad because you're doing it. It's just we need to grapple with this. It's a very important issue. Are we going to put experience over the Bible? Are we going to have, what is going to be our authority? That's really, boil it down. That's really what the question is here. It's not about, are there butterflies in heaven or do people have halos and wings? It's deeper than that. So Randy, you were saying that we need to be like the Bereans. We need to see, test this against the Bible to see if it contradicts scripture. If it doesn't, there's a possibility that it could be true, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, this is my feeling. When I read Don Piper's book, I've met Don Piper, I like him. But when I read his book, I thought, well, I don't see anything in here that explicitly contradicts Scripture. There's a few things that I might question that could have had to do with memory issues or perhaps something I don't understand properly or whatever it is. But those were very minor things. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He clearly believes that, conveys it. The Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real, same thing. So I would say at certain times, I would say, okay, well, this doesn't contradict Scripture, except when you have people in heaven that have wings and they have circles around their head and they have, all of this. And you say, but Scripture distinguishes between people and angels. You'd never have people with wings. Well, is it possible God could give wings? I suppose it's possible. It's not true to anything we see in Scripture. But then when we get to these books, Mary Neal's book is an example, and certainly this one by Dr. Alexander, Proof of Heaven, we have these two physicians, one who professes Christ, and I don't know that Dr. Alexander even professes Christ. I don't think there's anything in the book that talks about Jesus. But in those cases, they are saying things that are utterly contradicted by the revealed Word of God. And when that's true, that's when you need to draw the line, I think, and say, this is false. And in fact, who is behind false doctrine, false teaching? Well, often it's Satan. It's demonic. He's trying to distort what is true and to lead people away from it. I just think we need to have our eyes wide open, and I am concerned. I agree on the one hand with people who say, yeah, but you can't just dismiss all these stories. Some of them may be true. All right, let me just say the one thing I feel we really need to insist on is when they contradict Scripture, they are not true.
Yes. We have had folks on the program who've talked about things that went on in the Middle East, who Muslims who have really, you know, been praying to God, praying to Allah, and they see a vision of this person in white who says, I'm Jesus, and yes, you need to believe in me.
Yes.
And they see, you know, the next day somebody comes and shows them,
right,
goes through this presentation, and they'll say, well, that's him. I saw that guy. Should we be skeptical of that?
Well, I don't think, not skeptical. I mean, I think it, like, you have to take case by case. I mean, I know of numbers of those cases, and I absolutely believe them. I think they are in keeping with the kind of thing that God sometimes does. We see it in Scripture, angels appearing to people, letting them know, dreams, visions. None of what I'm saying is anti-supernatural. This was so interesting because the publisher's response was, well, if you're going to disagree with Mary Neal's book about what, you know, saying what Jesus told her in heaven, if you're disagreeing with that, you're saying you don't believe in the supernatural. I go, oh, no, on the contrary, I totally believe in the supernatural. I mean, our whole conversion is supernatural. The miracles of Christ, the life of Christ, the person and the work of Christ, supernatural, beginning to end. But that doesn't mean that everything that is supernatural we should believe, because works of Satan are also supernatural. And that's where we just have to remind, that's why God has given us his word, so that we can weigh and measure these experiences. My concern, and I said this long ago, after the Don Piper book, the Burpo book, the Kevin Malarkey book, The Boy Who Went to Heaven, or whatever that one's called, and others like that. Okay, these are evangelical Christians. Maybe most of what they're saying is not at all unbiblical, and they believe in Jesus, but what this does is it just makes undiscerning people where they go, well, I believe this one, now the next one comes out, Mary Neal's to heaven and back. Now you have a number of sincere Christians who, without a doubt, I am convinced, believe Jesus actually told her that we all begin our lives in heaven. And we begin our lives in right relationship with God. Now, the Bible makes it emphatically clear that the first time we come into relationship with God is when we repent and place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. That is a utter contradiction of Scripture, yet many, many people are believing it because, after all, Mary Neal says that's what happened.
Let's talk with Randy in Cleveland. Hi, Randy. Go right ahead. You're on with Randy.
Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call. I wasn't able to listen to the entire broadcast, and I have a question and a comment. My question is regarding the book 90 Minutes in Heaven, and my comment is about, well, our personal experience in my family as my dad was passing, and my father was a devout Christian. He was in bed and about a day and a half before he passed, and was looking up and saying, I want to go upstairs. And we kept saying, Dad, you can't go upstairs. And later, we realized he was saying, I want to go up there. Hmm. And I think he was between here and there. And that was the way he could express it, that, you know, he was done with this life and was ready to cross over. And weeks after that, then someone gave us 90 Minutes in Heaven, and we read it, and found comfort in some of the things he had to say about his experience. And so my question was, you know, in hearing some of your other comments, did you find things that you felt were, they were talking about theology, or I never found anything in reading that book that I felt was not sound?
No, I feel that of the books that I have read, 90 Minutes in Heaven has the fewest things that I think there's any biblical grounds to object to. Heaven is for Real has some things you can object to, but maybe it's pretty minor about whether people have wings or not. However, it does make you think, because let's suppose, I mean, that certainly has no biblical basis. Well, some people said, well, maybe he got it wrong on that. Well, yeah, but if he got it wrong on that, what about the other things that he's saying? But those are not my main concern. My main concern are these books like Proof of Heaven, which is just antithetical to the gospel. It contradicts the gospel. And Mary Neal's book, To Heaven and Back, which has some gospel in it, but also has numbers of false claims in it. That's my concern. So I believe in deathbed experiences. I believe many people who have been able, shortly before they die or at other times in their life, have caught glimpses of what's beyond. I write about that in some of my books. It's not anti-supernatural. It's that all supernatural claims should, like all other claims, be weighed in light of God's authoritative word.
Why then, Randy, thanks for your call, why then do you think these are so popular? And again, not just a lot of people are reading, I mean, it's wildly popular.
I think they're wildly popular because, first of all, they're dealing with something that's fascinating. I mean, everything supernatural is fascinating. What lies beyond death is a fascinating subject. I've written extensively about it myself. I am focusing on what Scripture says about it, but nonetheless, I mean, it's an area of great interest to me and to other people. One book spawns the next book. When you have a phenomenally successful book like Heaven is for Real, inevitably, every publisher, evangelical and secular, is sitting saying, hey, we want a story like that. And this is publishing. I love the publishing industry. It is not known, even as Hollywood is not known for its innovative, original, creative types of new stuff. They tend to, one movie comes out, very successful, all right, we got to make a movie like that. Well, that's what happens in publishing. And so now you've got all of these other stories that are coming out. Yes, Don Piper's book was very successful, but Todd Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real, is phenomenally successful. And inevitably, and I wrote about this years ago, but inevitably, it will spawn and has spawned imitators. And, you know, we have to judge whether those stories are true or false. But now the movement is away from biblically sound treatments written by Bible believers to people who either generally profess Christ but don't show consistent dependence on God's word, or people who just reject the authority of God's word. Yes. And my concern is I expect unbelievers to fall for some of these things. But to have Bible-believing Christians now advocating these various books, and they are, because I've seen it and heard it, just does concern me.
Yeah, and it's my concern, too. And Randy Alcorn's our guest today. If you want to know more about heaven, read the Bible, number one. If you want to know more about what the Bible says about heaven, then you can read Randy's book called Heaven. And those are not in competition there at all. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. We have it linked right there. More of your calls straight ahead with Randy Alcorn on Moody Radio. This is Chris Fabry Live, and we have one more segment to go on the program. A perfect time to remind you, Moody Radio is listener-supported. You are our lifeline to on-air, live streams, podcasts, the whole shooting match worldwide. Thank you for your support at chrisfabrylive.org. Randy Alcorn wrote the novelization of Courageous. He also wrote the book Heaven, and his latest is actually a graphic novel. It's titled Eternity. You can find out more about that at his website. You can link there to chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. Give me 30 seconds about Eternity and the graphic novel.
Well, this new graphic novel that's come out has just been amazing. It's the story of the rich man and Lazarus, illustrated by Marvel Comics artist who's done Wolverine, Ghost Rider, and many things. And I'm telling you, Chris, it's just been so fun to give it to young people who will not read conventional books often, but who just, this comic book style, this graphic novel, they love it. They get animated. They get excited about it. They say, cool, awesome. A guy yesterday at a gas station, I give it to him, goes, sick, and sick is actually good, you know?
Yes.
I mean, and it's like, okay, they're reading it, and they're getting the gospel, and I know they're going to read it cover to cover because the art is so fantastically good.
Huh. As a matter of fact, on the cover of this graphic novel, Eternity, there is an angel with wings. So you do believe there are things with wings in heaven. All right, let's get back to the calls. Derek's in Indianapolis. Derek, thanks for your call. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Chris. My first time calling in. My question is relatively simple. Before there was actually written scriptures, there was God. And God is just a manifestation. I mean, the scriptures are just a manifestation of God and his word. So why do we limit God now and only limit him to the scriptures? So if these experiences that people are experiencing, why can't they be of God? Because God is limitless. And I intend that even limitless beyond the scriptures.
Yes, and I think this is a basic doctrinal belief, worldview issue. Are scriptures authoritative? And I think if they're sort of, I mean, if they're generally true, but sometimes not true, then it'd be fine if somebody has an experience and it contradicts something Scripture says, because you'd say, well, science is right and Scripture is wrong. If, on the other hand, you believe that Scripture is true, then you realize God can do all kinds of things beyond the Scriptures. That's what I've been saying. He doesn't need my permission or anybody else's to do whatever he wants to do. But when it contradicts Scripture, then you have to ask yourself, do I believe Scripture or do I believe this thing? And I think that's where the issue of authority comes in. It's not limiting God to the Scripture. God, I mean, God has done all kinds of things in my life completely outside of the Scriptures. But all the things he has done in my life outside the Scriptures are yet true to the Scriptures. That, to me, is the issue.
Okay. Can I ask you a follow-up question to that?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
My follow-up question would be then, if God do things beyond the Scriptures, I mean, doesn't the Scriptures in many ways contradict themselves, and don't we got to look at it culturally and all kinds of, you know, the language of it can be up for interpretation. One word can mean, you know, five different things. You know, the Scriptures, since they're interpreted by man, yes, I can contend to say they're of God, but since they're interpreted by man and man's place in time, for a timeless God, doesn't that automatically contradict itself? Because we can only view the Scriptures, we can only receive the Scriptures from a limitless point, from a limited point of view, being fallible human beings.
Right,
God,
I agree.
His word is, okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with our being fallible, our being finite, and all of that. What I believe is that God has revealed himself infallibly, dependably, in Scripture. And you're right, we're still going to be left with different interpretations of that. So, for instance, that's why I say, yeah, there's no place in the Bible that ever has people with wings. And then I said, but could God make people with wings? Well, she could. God can do anything. It's just enough to make me question it. But when Scripture specifically tells us that we come into being, into this world, and that we are under sin because we all sinned in Adam, when Scripture says that, then that seems to me to clearly contradict the notion that we all begin in heaven in right relationship with God, and then we come down to earth. So my point with Mary Neal's book is that is something which Scripture clearly contradicts. And I think no matter how loosely you interpret Scripture, you're not going to come up with any authentic biblical grounds for the notion that we all begin our existence in heaven and then come down to earth, which is explicitly what Mary Neal says Jesus told her in heaven. So do I believe her account, or do I believe Scripture? I think I'm left with a choice. I choose to believe Scripture.
Thanks, Derek, for your call today. And that brings in, let's say you've got a controversial subject in the world where we, the church, or most people who read the Bible see an issue one way, but then someone else in the society says something different. Let's talk about abortion, because there are a lot of people who would say, there's some people who would say that, you know, hey, the Bible really doesn't specifically talk about abortion. That's what they would say. I would disagree, but that's what they would say. What if you have someone who dies and goes to heaven, and someone up there, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or Peter, or whomever, says, hey, you know what? Every baby that's aborted is in heaven. So really, you ought to encourage people to have more abortions. That's what you need to do. Go back. Now, what do we do with that? Are we going to look at that experience and what the, and I haven't seen anybody say that. I'm just using that metaphorically.
Right.
I haven't seen anybody say that, but it's possible that that could come down the pike or about some other issue, right?
Yes, and I think what we have to do is remind ourselves, even as the last caller pointed out in a different, to make a different point, but we are fallible and we are finite. Have any of us been guilty of you know, false memories? There's even a thing in psychology that's called false memory syndrome. I mean, yes, we have a way of extrapolating. We sort of, I remember this thing that happened, and as the years go on, the story gets enhanced or changed. And in some cases, it's not deliberate lying. It's just, it's like the, you know, any police officer will tell you, okay, they got witnesses at a scene. Here was this car accident, and you talk to six different people, and often you get six different stories. At least you get three or four substantially different stories, yet they were all eyewitnesses.
Yes.
Okay, well, if that's true of us in normal life, isn't it true of people who are heavily medicated and have these experiences and come back and they're remembering them? Even if they're not lying, they may be mistaken.
Yes, or they're very, very sick, you know, and going through, I think the doctor who spoke, and we played his audio a little earlier, was a brain, something was going on with his brain, and they thought he wouldn't survive this. All right, it's a good, really good conversation. Of course, Randy, you and I will never have another publisher come contact us, but that's all right. You got the graphic novel going, and we're up, up, and away. Thanks a lot for being here and for speaking candidly and compassionately and yet at the same time biblically, and therein lies the import here. Randy Alcorn, thanks for being with us today.
You bet, Chris. Always a pleasure.
And if you'd like to, I see a lot of email here, voicemails that are coming in already. I'm sorry I didn't get to those. Maybe we'll do some of these tomorrow, respond to a few of these tomorrow. And as well, I want to respond to a couple of people who emailed about an earlier program this week and ask you to respond tomorrow about how God has moved into your life through Christian radio, through something that you've heard on the radio. Let's end the week that way tomorrow, right here on Chris Fabry Live, a production of Moody Radio in Chicago. Has this happened to you? You apologize to someone you've wronged, but you make the situation worse? You say you're sorry, but for some reason, it's not enough. The problem is, you're not saying it in the best language, at least the best language of apology. You probably didn't even know that languages of apology existed. In their book, When Sorry Isn't Enough, Gary Chapman and Jennifer Thomas share the five love languages of apology proven to result in forgiveness and restoration of relationships. Call 800-400-7022 now to get your copy of When Sorry Isn't Enough for a gift of any amount. Or go online to moodyradioresource.org. Now you can learn the five languages of apology and receive forgiveness from those you love. Call 800-400-7022 now to get your copy of When Sorry Isn't Enough for a gift of any amount. That's 800-400-7022 or online at moodyradioresource.org. Well, we sure hope you enjoyed the program today. I'm Chris Fabry, hoping you will visit us at the website for updates, past programs, links to guests, my website and blog, and a whole lot more. And don't forget to join us for our next visit at the Radio Backyard Fence, and thanks for your support. Contact us online today at chrisfabrylive.org.